It's a residency at the House of M's.
This is Triple M Nights with Dave Gleeson.
It was 2003 when this band came smashing onto the airwaves around the world. They're called The Darkness, and they came out with an album called Permission to Land, that song you're going to love, I Believe in a Thing Called Love, as well as many others. And they've just announced they're coming back to Australia to tour some more. And what a great live band they are. We've got Justin Hawkins on the phone, lead singer, lead guitarist. G'day, Justin. How are you, mate?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm stoked to be talking to you. I'm as an Australian fan of, I was telling my young mate here who works in the studio with me, definitely in one of my top 10 greatest live bands I ever saw.
Oh wow! Amazing. Thank you.
And to know
where
that
did you see us, by the way?
I saw you at Mark. You might have heard him say, "I'm in a couple of bands. I sing with a band called The Angels, who's been a stalwart of the Australian pub rock scene for the last 40 years." And we played.
Australia invented the pub rock scene.
Yeah, they were right at the start. You know, close to the Easy Beats and AC/DC and that. But we played at Sweden Rock in 2015. And I guess it was when Rufus had just started playing with you guys.
Sounds like it, yeah. So I think I remember what I was wearing on that day.
Yeah, a jumpsuit.
I've been wearing the sort of French aristocracy, like a dictator's costume kind of thing.
No, I saw you had like a motorcycle, like a one-piece, like Evel Knievel thing that you tied up around your waist.
Okay, that makes more sense. Yeah,
mate, cool. So you must be excited after, like any band is, after all the pushbacks and postponements, that you're on a world tour again.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Weirdly, when it all sort of became difficult at the beginning of COVID, we were actually in Australia. And I remember we were in Sydney when I was watching TV and I saw when Donald Trump was declaring it a state of emergency in America, and it was quite obvious that things were not going to be easy to sort of finish. We ended up cancelling the last couple of shows on the Australian tour last time, so we've got unfinished business in Australia. It makes sense that when the world goes back to normal, we come back and finish the job, you know. But for 2 years after that, it was just we lost 6 weeks in America. We've lost. We lost a whole European tour, and I think it's the same for everybody, isn't it? It's just been a nightmare.
Yeah, and look, I think the thing that people don't realise is, although it's hard work and it's hard slog getting out there on the road and all that stuff, it's bloody good fun as well. So you miss that, don't you?
Well, you do. I think it's. You know, like you said, there's a lot of travelling in between the shows, but the whole thing about touring is that you get to these shows, and there isn't a better feeling in the world for a musician to play in front of an audience. Everyone's suffered in COVID times, but I think for musicians, it's kind of like that's the whole reason why you do what we do, isn't it?
To interact.
Nice to be back.
Yeah. Now, so nearly coming up on 20 years, mate. Can you believe that? As you know, since Permission to Land came out.
I know. Yeah. It's already been 20 years since we wrote those songs.
Right.
We've been gigging them for quite a while before we actually recorded them properly.
Well, sorry.
So it's kind of like I remember we had to dig out some files for when we did. I Believe in a Thing Called Love was in a Super Bowl advert years ago. And when we dug out the files, we realised that the lead vocal on that was recorded on September 11th, 2001.
Wow.
You know, when the Twin Towers and all that. So all those songs have been around for even longer. But they still feel young. You know, when you play them, they're still sort of... You never get bored of playing those songs, really.
Well, I think that's the energy, and it's you know, I'd put it down to the Jack Black factor, or you know, Dewey Finn, obviously in School of Rock. There was a time there where I was like, oh, is rock cool anymore? I don't know, you know, are we flogging a dead horse? And then I saw Dewey Finn, and I went, yeah, who cares, man? Rock is cool, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah, I think that's the right attitude, isn't it? I mean, the stuff that is cool, I mean, if rock isn't cool, then what is?
Well, that's all.
And if anything's cool, then we're fucked, really, aren't we? I think it's just, I think it's gone. It has to be beyond cool, really, doesn't it? It's got to be, got to make you feel something.
Sure, and I think, you know, the people that people mix up having a good time with not taking things seriously, and I think there's all these pundits out there who are like, oh, are they really taking it seriously? It's like, once again, when I saw you guys play, talk about serious guitars between yourself and your brother Dan, man, it's just wild. You can't get that just mucking around.
I don't know. I think you can piss about, but you have to practice before you do that, I suppose. You know, you have to put the work in before you're allowed to, start pissing about, really.
Yeah, go off script. Now, so you got Motorheart out, which you bought out last year. And it must be great to know that each time you bring out an album, there'll be songs that you love off that album that are going to stay in the set, and the set's going to get longer and longer.
Yeah. True, yeah. It's funny because when you do, like, festival season is quite interesting because that's when you find out if the stuff really sinks or swims because, you know, you're going to be playing to, like, a passing trade audience that aren't necessarily going to be aware that you've got more than one record, So the things that go in the set really have to justify inclusion. But weirdly, the title track is really fun to play every time. And it's one of those things where, you know, even if the crowd doesn't like a song, it doesn't necessarily mean you shouldn't play it. It doesn't even have to be instant, really. It's just if it brings a certain energy that the rest of your material doesn't have, then it justifies its inclusion. So there's a couple of songs from the new record that are definitely going to be, you know, even in the festival set, which is the difficult thing to get into, I think, when you've got 8 albums. So, but I think, you know, it's really fun to play all that stuff, really. There's a song called The Power and the Glory of Love, which I was really loving, but then when we started playing it live, it just didn't work that well. And landed a bit awkward, you know. And I think when you go on tour, that's when you find out which ones are good and which ones are not ideal.
Yeah.
For live, isn't it? Because you just know how it feels, don't you? It's not even about the audience, actually. It's about how you feel about it.
Well, that's right. You can come off and go, yeah, that didn't land very well at all.
But also, like, within the band, you get, like, 4 different opinions of how it landed.
Yeah, well,
four different perspectives.
That's the other thing. The amount of times I've walked off stage and gone, how good was that? And 3 of the other blokes gone, that's the worst gig in my life. I go, what?
Yeah,
I was killing it out there.
That happens to me all the time, Dave. I'm telling you, it's really. I think singers have a different...
Yeah, well, that's
a different experience. You know.
We're up there connecting with the chicks in the front row.
Yeah, that's it. We're doing a different gig.
Well, mate, we cannot wait to get you down here. I'm sure people will be getting online to buy the pre-sale tickets because, as I said, you're one of the greatest live bands I've ever seen. And if you want to see energy, you want to see big guitars, big fat drums, sing-along choruses, then you got to see The Darkness.
Nice one, Dave. Appreciate it.
Cheers,
thanks, mate.
Take care.